sensitive artist. Nobody understands me because I am so deep. In my work, I make allusions to books that nobody else has read, music that nobody else has heard, and art that nobody else has seen. I can't help it because I am so much more intelligent and well-rounded than everyone who surrounds me. I stopped watching TV when I was 6 months old because it was so boring and stupid, and started reading books and going to recitals and art galleries. I don't go to recitals anymore because my hearing is too sensitive, and I don't go to art galleries anymore because there are people there and I can't deal with people because they don't understand me. I stay home reading books that are beneath me and working on my work, which no one understands. I'm sensitive. I am a sensitive artist. 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 I am a sensitive artist.
And indeed, you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, Freak Radio, 101 FM, freakradio.org. This is Pop Defect Radio. My name is Skidmark Bob. And John S. Hall has joined me on the phone. We're going to be speaking with John S. Hall, spoken word performer, poet, musician, hailing from the band King Missile 3, with three albums to date, Failure, Psychopathology of Everyday Life, and the most recent, Royal Lunch, released on Important Records. Most remember his band from that, the commercial hit Detachable Penis, with three albums released on Atlantic Records, Happy Hour and King Missile, as well as Way to Salvation. But even before all that, he released some albums with Dog Bowl and the King Missile, They and Mystical Shit and Fluting the Hump on Shimmy Disc Records, produced by Kramer of Bongwater fame. He's also done solo projects, The Body Has a Head, released in Germany, and Real Men with Kramer, as well as written a book called Jesus Was Way Cool, I believe some of his writings. And he's also an entertainment lawyer living in New York City with the firm Herati and Hall, I believe. And I have the great privilege to be joined with none other than John S. Hall. How you doing, John?
I'm good. It's Herati Hall, H-E-R-A-T-Y.
I'm sorry, Herati Hall.
That's fine.
Okay.
And everything else sounded right.
Okay.
Comes to 10 or 11 albums.
That's a long history.
Yeah.
Starting out with Shimmy Disc Records. I also, I'm curious how you started out through the spoken word performance, and actually how you started when you were young, probably writing. I was wondering how old you were when you first started writing, expressing yourself through spoken word.
I was probably, I was in my teens, and, there were open poetry readings in my neighborhood, so I went to those, and after a while, they started asking me to do features, so I did, featured poetry readings, and then I started to ask musicians to play with me, and the first one I asked was Dog Bowl, and we made a couple records together.
That's right. Fluting the Hump, was that the first one, right?
Fluting on the Hump, yeah.
Fluting on the Hump from 1987, and then They, and then also Mystical Shit.
Yeah, Dogbo's not on Mystical Shit, but he wrote a couple of the songs with me on that record.
How did all that start? Like when you hooked up with Kramer and all that from Bongwater.
I mean, I was just wanting to make some demos, and he was starting a label, so I went to his studio to record the demos, and he asked me if I wanted to be on the label, so we said okay.
Wow,
pretty simple.
Cool. Yeah, it's pretty interesting. You also released a collaborative effort with Kramer called Real Men in 1991. Was that right before you got signed to Atlantic or during all that? Or
The Real Men record?
Yeah.
Yeah, we made it right before.
Okay. That's an interesting record. I was playing some of that. I played Mr. Story just a little while ago, mm-hmm. and a couple other things.
Yeah, I wrote that so I'd quit smoking.
Are you still quit?
Yeah.
Right on. I'm also interested in you put out three albums with Atlantic Records and how all that came about when you got signed to Atlantic. Curious.
Well, we had a number one college radio song, Jesus Was Way Cool, from the Mystical album. And at that time, a lot of labels were looking for college radio bands. And so at that time, it seemed sensible to sign us. Probably at no other time in musical history would it have seemed to have made sense. But right then, we were very popular on college radio. And so, you know, we were popular on college radio at a time when record companies were looking at college radio. So,
Is that something that Shimmy Disc did? I read that somewhere that they were really good about getting stuff out to college stations.
They did send, Kramer made sure that most, if not all, of the radio stations that report to CMJ got copies of all his releases.
Hmm. And what's Kramer up to nowadays?
I don't know.
Really?
No, I haven't spoken to him in about a year.
Wow. Has he been producing anything?
I don't think so, but I'm sure he will again.
That's
at some
great.
Point.
That's good to hear. The Atlantic, I've always been curious about how all that worked out because you started with, you got signed to Atlantic and you put out three albums, and the big hit, of course, was Detachable Penis.
On the second one, yeah.
On the second album, Happy Hour in 94. And then after that was King Missile, and then they dropped you, or they weren't making enough money off you or something like that? I'm not sure.
They dropped us off of that record. It wasn't really what they thought we should be doing. And quite frankly, I didn't think it was what we should be doing either. The Happy Hour record was made in a lot of ways, you know, according to the way I wanted to make a record. And after that kind of success, and because the band kind of humored me on that record a lot, I decided to do something that, you know, more towards what they wanted to do. And the label didn't like it. I didn't like it. And people didn't like it. So we ended up with a record, you know, that for us was experimental and interesting. And I'd say that there's a good, you know, that record still has some really good, interesting things on it.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a lot of, I mean, when I say for us, it was experimental. But in a lot of ways, we were just trying to write conventional pop songs. And I'm not very good at writing conventional pop songs.
Yeah.
I think the music on that record sounds good. I think it's well produced. But the material that I, you know, the material that ended up on that album wasn't very good because the concept of that record was to try to make as many rock songs as possible.
Mm.
And I'm not very good at writing rock lyrics or singing like a rock singer.
And then they end up not wanting to do another album, I believe.
Yeah, you know, at the time that we were making that record, or just before we made that record, there was a discussion after the Happy Hour record whether I should do a solo record or whether the band should do that record. And the label actually, you know, had me take interviews, you know, had me do interviews with a bunch of producers to just do a solo record.
Mm-hmm.
But I decided to do a record with the band, and that was probably a mistake.
Mm.
I probably should have just done done a solo record for Atlantic, and I think that I'm pretty sure that would have done better.
Mm. And then you released the Head Has a Body, right?
The Body Has a Head.
The Body Has a Head. I'll get it right. Don't worry. Released in Germany, I believe. Wasn't that a solo type album, or was that like with a band?
It was with the band that later became King Missile III.
Okay.
And actually, after that label went out of business, we released that record ourselves and called it the Green Album, and we sold a bunch of them at shows.
Wow.
That record is hard to come by.
Definitely. It's really hard to find. I was lucky I found the Kramer one. I don't know. Is that one, the Jonas Hall and Kramer one, is that readily available?
Well, I think Knitting Factory has the rights to release all those records. So
okay.
They've re-released some of them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, I know I've seen it in stores. So.
There was a track also on a Home Alive benefit CD that you did, The Body Has a Head.
Well, that song is also on The Body Has a Head record.
Uh-huh.
And it's also on Failure. The song's called A Good Hard Look.
Okay. That was a great song, by the way. How did King Missile 3 come about? Did you? I know that you became a lawyer sometime in there. And
Well, I mean, I just decided to stop calling the project that I was working on under my name and decided to call it King Missile the Third because a lot of people just weren't familiar with my name, and so I thought it would be easier for people to find us in the record store if I put it under King Missile's name.
Ah,
so
that makes sense. You put out Failure, and there's also Psychopathology of Everyday Life.
Uh-huh.
And there's an interesting song on there I wanted to ask you about called The President. And you have a lot of disdain for our president. I was wondering, what inspired you to write that song?
Well, actually, I wrote it about Rudolph Giuliani, and it was originally called The Mayor. And then he became not the mayor anymore, and so I just changed a few of the words around and called it The President.
You haven't gotten any Secret Service visits because of that song, huh?
Not that I know of.
I'm sure you're on their books somewhere. How do you feel about the Bush administration, this whole war that's going on, this illegal war that's going on in Iraq? I mean, today there's huge firefights going on with the insurgents, I was just reading. And the insurgents are actually fighting back big time and giving the American soldiers a run for their money right now as they're trying to do some more, get rid of the insurgents. What do you feel about all that?
Well, I feel bad for anybody in this country whose economic situation is so strained that they feel they have to join, volunteer for the army, because I don't think America has been in a good war since World War II.
Mm-hmm.
So anyone who would volunteer to be a soldier in this army, I just hope they really needed the money, because I can't think of any other reason to do it.
Mm-hmm.
The Iraq War is just one in a series of misguided, and possibly illegal wars. I don't know how to judge the legality of it. In my new album, I say there is no international law, so I don't think it's illegal from an international standpoint, and I'm not sure it's illegal from a domestic standpoint either. I mean, he got Congress's permission. So the only thing, to me, it's immoral in the sense that most of our wars are immoral. Father did some similar stuff. Clinton's use of the military, I basically approved of, going into Bosnia. But, for the most part, I don't think we use our military in a moral way, and we haven't since World War II.
That reminds me of that song, America Kicks Ass, that is up there. That sounds like a really angry song against what's going on. That's the way America feels sometimes, the way when it goes out and just attacks people, and does these things and tries to create, create democracy by force, which is essentially what they're doing, in my view, in Iraq.
I don't know that it's democracy.
Yeah, right. It's true. Good point. But, what they say is democracy, what Bush says is democracy. And they try to bring it to somewhere else. And it just seems like this arrogance comes from that song. It's like a real angry arrogance. Is that what you're feeling when you wrote it? Or
Well, angry at American arrogance, mm-hmm. I guess is what I'd say. But I mean, it's there is a sense among, you know, I think a sizable portion of this country that America should take whatever it can from the world. And everyone in this country, or almost everyone in this country, benefits from that attitude. So even people who, you know, claim to be against it, like myself, you know, do enjoy the cheap products and the easy living that, you know, and the relatively low taxes compared to Europe that we enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
There are very few people that are going to work for candidates, for example, that will raise our taxes, that will try to decrease our dependency on you know, slave labor and, you know, cheap oil, et cetera. So even people who don't necessarily agree with our government aren't generally willing to oppose it in anything but the most, you know, simple and effortless ways.
Right.
So,
we're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz 101 FM. We're talking to John S. Hall from King Missile 3. And I wanted to get your views on the file sharing issues out there on the internet. There's I don't know if you've checked out downhillbattle.org. They have a pretty good website about talking about different types of file sharing and the issue of file sharing. What's your views on that?
I don't think that people should put music that they don't own the copyright for on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think people should engage in file sharing.
Mm-hmm. So you mean like illegal file, like we can download America Kicks Ass, right?
Well, because that's an instance of somebody who owns the copyright,
okay,
making it available. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't own the copyright, you shouldn't do it.
What about using samples from things, other like DJs and things like that, that use samples from different media and also samples from different songs that have been copyrighted?
Well, the law says you can use samples from songs, but you can't use samples from recordings unless you get the permission of the copyright owner.
Mm-hmm.
I think, personally, I'm in favor of people who create having more control over what they create, not less. So I would actually change the law so that you couldn't sample a song without the songwriter's permission either. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, as an entertainment lawyer, you know, when my clients want to sample stuff, I just, you know, I find out who owns it, and I call them up, and I ask, you know, and I ask for a license, and we negotiate, and we pay them something, and we get the license. It's not that expensive, and it's not that hard.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's what you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's what I would hope other people would do if they wanted to sample my stuff.
Uh-huh.
I'll also say that, you know, there are, and there have been in the past, people that are signed to major labels, for example, who have gotten advances from these record companies of hundreds of thousands of dollars. Basically, they've sold their rights to the songs. Then they turn around and say, oh, yeah, people should be free to copy the music all they want and share it. And the record companies are greedy. And I think, well, you know, they took all this money from the label, you know, and at that point I don't think they have the right to say that the label can't, try to stop people from copying stuff that isn't theirs. So, you know, if you really want to give your music away, then you shouldn't sell it to a label.
What about, say, DJs that record a radio show that has that song, a song on it that they didn't get permission for, and say they upload that show to the internet? I was always curious about that, because sometimes we do, in some of the indie media folks IndieMedia.org, Radio Indie Media folks put up shows where they have a song on the tail end of their interview or in a music show. And they blend into other songs and stuff, but they still don't have permission.
Well, are you talking about on the internet?
Yeah, on the internet, yeah. I'm just curious of the legality of that.
I think the law there is that you can broadcast. You just pay the blanket fees to BMI and ASCAP, and you're covered.
Uh-huh.
I think. I mean, I don't really know.
Because sometimes we get those little pesky at our website because we stream stuff all the time, and we don't. A lot of people don't get permission. We get a lot of stuff into the mail. That basically, I guess that's the way we get permission, is by people sending us a CD in the mail. You know, but we've gotten a couple people. I forget what it was called. It was some rights company of some sort, and we just ignored it and they went away, but they kept sending us emails saying we need to pay for some of the music that we've been playing.
Well, there are companies that are illegally trying to collect money that they're not entitled to.
Huh.
And I think that people should be wary of that, but you know, you should understand what you need to pay for and what you don't, so that you're not paying people that you don't need to pay.
Right.
But as far as I know, I mean, if I start a radio station, I can broadcast music on the radio station if I pay ASCAP and BMI. And I think that's how it works for the internet too, but it may be different. I don't know, because I've never been a lawyer for a radio station.
Hmm. I just thought I'd get your view on that.
Well, generally my view is, you know, that I don't want people to come into my house and take my my stuff. You know, if I paint a painting, I don't want somebody to break into my house and steal it. And if I make some music, I don't want people to steal that either, you know.
Right.
I offer it for sale, and I want people to buy it. I don't want people to get it for free. I don't want people to pay too much for it, but I don't want people to get it for free either.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're talking to John S. Hall here from King Missile 3, and I was wondering if you had any closing comments you wanted to give to us here, any recent updates. Are you guys touring? Are you going to be touring soon?
We haven't toured lately. I don't think we're going to tour this year. We may tour next year.
And where do you usually go? Do you go nationwide or something?
Yeah, usually.
Really? You get around San Francisco sometime, I hope?
Usually if we do a tour, we get to San Francisco.
Cool. Okay, well, I guess that's basically it. I just wanted to talk to you for a little while, kind of check in, because we do play a lot of your stuff.
I appreciate it.
On free radio. One of the favorites is It's Saturday, which I think I might, yeah. How did that song come about?
Oh, I don't know. I just started writing.
Yeah, came out.
My mind wandered around, and that's what I came up with.
And you have a website for your law firm, in case anybody's interested.
HarrityHall.com.
Okay, HarrityHall.com. Again, we're talking to John S. Hall from King Missile 3, and I appreciate you taking the time to talk with me. And
thanks. I should say that, you know, as a lawyer, I represent, you know, up-and-coming bands, singer-songwriters, some poets, some small labels. So, you know, if anybody who's listening is, you know, needs a lawyer, they can email me, john@HarrityHall.com, HERATYHALL.com, or visit the website.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you taking the time again to speak with us here at Free Radio Santa Cruz. And letting us know what's going on out there.
Okay.
All thanks. Right. Take care, John.
You
thanks.
Too. Bye.
I want to be different. Like everybody else, I want to be like. I want to be just like all the different people. I have no further interest in being the same, because I have seen difference all around, and now I know that that's what I want. I don't want to blend in and be indistinguishable. I want to be part of the different crowd and assert my individuality along with others who are different like me. I don't want to be identical to anyone or anything. I don't even want to be identical to myself. I want to look in the mirror and wonder, who is that person? I've never seen that person before. I've never seen anyone like that before. I want to call into question the very idea that identity can be attached. I want a floating, shifting, ever-changing persona, invisibility and obscurity, detachment from the ego and all of its pursuits. Unity is useless, conformity is competitive and divisive, and leads only to stagnation and death.
Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101 FM. We have a phone call. Hello, you got a response to the interview with John S. Hall? Hello?
Yeah, hey, here I am.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, it's going pretty well, Bob. How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I mean, most of them are differences of opinion, so I don't want to be overly negative because I very much enjoyed it.
Okay.
And I think it's totally valid where he's coming from. It's just like, but me and him inhabit really different universes, extremely, extremely different universes, not creatively or whatever, but just a lot of the stuff he was talking about I don't relate to because it has to do with capitalism, especially this stuff about stealing music and other things like that. The analogy to painting was totally inappropriate. You know why? Because when there's one copy of a painting and that's the only one exists and you go and take that, yeah, somebody come into his house and took the masters of his new album, that's stealing. Music, though, and the reproduction of any artwork is a communication, and we just view it totally 180. I believe in offering music. I believe it's a gift, and I think it's sad to say it's just like that song by Joni Mitchell. He was playing really good for free. I wonder if he's ever heard that song, a song that just so well encapsulates how she felt kind of bad and lower as this paid, extremely accoladed artist when she just walked by someone playing on the street who was just doing their thing, man. And I really believe that's what music is all about. So much, and I don't believe in copywriting. And it's sad to me that somebody would think that as someone at Free Radio would need to pay for something or would even have to go by copyright laws, because the very thing that you were doing by taking the time to interview him, you were offering your time for free, Bob, whereas any other interviewer on any other kind of radio station would be getting paid and would be a paid participant. You called him up because you like his music, and you took the time to do that. The gift is to him. You're giving a gift to him.
Yeah.
Whereas anybody who's selling their music, and it's not like I've never sold a CD before, and I don't mean to be like overly judgmental, but I'm just saying it's just a different vibe and it's a different trip.
Yeah, it is. I was totally off on that, and you know, maybe I should have challenged him a little more about that issue, but I kind of just wanted him to talk and just say what he had to say and let folks like you call in, and I thought what you said was perfect. I wish you were in here with me.
Yeah, maybe, but
I wish I wish we could take calls. We need to do that, get that figured out.
Yeah, if we had a three-way thing. But, man, I'm totally with you. I'm not even sure if I needed to, like, you know, have a debate with him while he was talking. I totally hear you, man. You just wanted to let him expound his thing, and you were there to be an interviewer, and that's very valid, too.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I feel it is. It's totally up to you what you want to say or not say, and you may share some of my views. Also, the stuff about World War II being a good war, I've been reading way too many things about actual histories of World War II. That kind of thing just offends me, but I don't mean to be overreactive. But like in Dresden, just even to clear out the bomb shelters, people suffocated down there. Mm. There was no air. Carbon dioxide was sucked into there. All the oxygen was burned in the firestorm. They could not get down there to put the flamethrowers to the bodies because the maggots were so thick on the stairs. They had to flamethrow these huge maggots away before they could even burn the bodies to cleanse that area. And somebody wants to call that a good war? Whoa, man. Whoa. We live on different universes. He's over on Venus someplace.
He also mentioned,
maybe I'm on Mars, but I don't know. I don't mean to say, whoa, that was just that kind of stuff's hard for me.
He also mentioned something about what Clinton did militarily, he was somewhat in support of. I believe he said that. Was that right? I mean,
yeah.
Something along those lines is what I heard.
Yes. Yeah, I don't agree with that either. I don't agree see any war as even possibly being able to be good. Basically. And maybe, you know, he's a lawyer. I mean, I don't know about the legal, illegal thing. I think the war is internationally illegal, which as far as I know, but maybe it's not even that important of a point. I think he was kind of transcending that and just getting to the moral, the ethical part of it, which I do agree. Maybe it's silly to quibble about whether something is actually legal or illegal.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. That song, America Kicks Ass, is like kind of says it all. It totally sounds like he's really fucking pissed at the war. But when I interviewed him, it kind of sounded, I don't know. Like, I don't.
No, I know.
I don't know. It's just kind of weird. But
yeah, there's nothing wrong. I mean, there's nothing wrong with somebody having a difference of opinion.
That's true.
You know, seeing what something as Clinton did is better, or, you know, I mean, yeah, we don't have to link there. Just one final thing. I think he sees America as like this easy living. I think he's doing well.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have as much guilt about, you know, I don't drive a car. I'm, you know, live basically check to check if the check happens to be enough type of thing. You know, and I know that I'm extremely rich to a lot of, compared to, you know, people living in a garbage dump in Manila and other such extreme realities, man, that there's probably more people who are living below me than are living higher than me. But that being said, I mean, I don't see what I have as easy living or some kind of like taking extreme, huge advantage of what America has to offer. That's almost becomes like identity politics a little bit. Like if you're a man or if you're part of some abstraction that you're not actually a part of, but people have categorized you as such, you have some extra responsibility to do something about something. I think that nationality is like that. If I never signed anything that I wanted to be a part of this stupid construct, I'm not going to sit around and feel guilty about the fact that I happen to be in Rome. You know, well, I didn't, you know what I mean? I didn't make the decision. Julius Caesar did, man, and I'm not going to, like, feel all guilty about that shit.
Right.
That's how I feel, you know? And yes, I mean, to some aspect of that is real. We do have a privilege of even living in this country, but it's not like you chose that. I mean, your parents just happen to be here. You just happen to be here. I don't, you know, carrying around some sort of millstone on your back about such things, yeah, I just don't. I don't want to do that anymore.
Right. Well, I appreciate you calling in, especially from a, you know, you're a performer as well. And
yeah, I could relate to some of the things he's talking about on that level. I really could. And I want to say, man, I don't. I mean, a lot of stuff that I totally agree with. And this guy's a really good artist, and I'm really glad he's doing what he's doing. I don't mean to be overly negative. Truly, you know, maybe it's like some of the things that I agree with. I just, why repeat the things he's already said? You know.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're fundamentally on a similar wavelength, but some of the entertainment lawyer stuff is just kind of hard for me. I don't mean to...
I agree. I totally agree with that. You know, that's kind of why I talked a little bit about him. Like, just, you know, because we don't have the right to play his music right now. I don't have the right. He hasn't actually given me the right to play his music, but it's okay because I'm doing an interview with him.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just weird when you, I don't know. I never understood when you go and pay for a CD, you know, $15 for a CD, it doesn't become yours. It's your property, you know?
I know. Exactly.
And it's out there on the radio, and it's out there in the air floating around, and it's public property as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
That's why stuff like Indie Media's got Creative Commons, stuff like that, so people can be able to put up stuff. You know, because I put up a weekly show. I put up a weekly show, and not necessarily everything is sent to me. I get from, you know, CDs I buy at the store occasionally. And they're all independent labels, but I don't have, you know, someone could actually come after me for copyright infringement if they wanted to.
Yep.
You know, straight up. I'm not making any money. I'm spending money. I'm buying a fucking CD. I'm MP3-ing it, and I'm mixing it in to a show and putting it up on the internet for other independent stations to play, and it's promoting the artist, but technically I don't have the right to do that.
Okay.
Anyway.
I know that's you know, it's sad. Maybe we could approach it from like a positive sense, like, hey, you know, I'm not here to put down the way you view it with this copyright trip that's going on, but let's just look at it this way, you know, and maybe little by little it'll kind of be a friendly thing where we'll kind of, you know, I don't want to be evangelical, but maybe people, we could win them over, slash people would kind of come around to, wow, let's just share things.
Right.
I kind of see it's like basic, some of it, believe it or not, in a bizarre sense, is just basic Christianity, you know, or just basic, I believe, some old things in our culture that you cut out a lot of the horrible things, and some of it was just like, shit, man, share with each other. You know, I mean, don't be violent toward each other. Share a little bit.
Well,
you know,
hey, let's see if some other folks want to call in and add to it and see what they think of the interview.
That sounds good. Thanks for your show, Bob.
All right, no problem.
Okay, ciao.
Take care. Freak Radio Santa Cruz, 101 FM.
And I would go, and I would go every day almost to the sandbox, and 'cause I love the sandbox so much, and 'cause I had my pail and my shovel and my shovel. And I would play in the sandbox, and it would be so fun, and I would make mountains in the sand, and I would have so much fun, but one day I went to the sandbox, and it was so sad, and I cried, and I cried, because someone took a duty in my sandbox, someone took a duty in my sandbox, and that was so bad, and that was so bad, and that was so disgusting, and how could they do that, and that was so bad, I didn't see it, and I sat right down in it, and it felt squishy, and I got up, and I cried, and I cried, and I cried, and why didn't they clean up after themselves? Why didn't they clean up the mess?
Free Radio Santa Cruz, King Missile, it's an old one. It's going back to the sandbox there. It's actually about the environment. And I got another caller on the line. Hello, caller, you want to add to the... Hello?
Yeah, yeah, am I there?
Yeah, you are on the air, Free
cool.
Radio Santa Cruz.
Yeah, I just wanted to respond actually to both to the previous caller and to John S. Hall.
Okay.
Like for the previous caller, I just want to remind him we don't have to feel guilt about being American, but we should recognize the privilege that the, you know, the vast majority of us get by being at the heart of the empire, and that we do live a level of, you know, a level of consumption in our lives that is far beyond the vast majority of people on this planet. That doesn't mean that we should be, you know, thankful for that. In fact, we shouldn't be thankful for it. We should be appalled by it. We should be working to break down those systems of inequality and difference that have no, like, there's no justifiability for them. And so, just on that. As for John Hall, it's odd listening to a lot of the things he talks about in his art, in his performances, that are, you know, often somewhat radical in what he's saying. But then hearing him talk, it seems to be really sort of a support of the system in general.
Mm-hmm.
You know, song like "Take Stuff from Work." Okay, well, what is he just? Is he only doing that to be you know, sort of exciting, to be controversial? I mean, if you take him at his word on it, he's encouraging people to take stuff from work. And yet, when it turns around and it's him, oh, well, then no, you can't have any of my stuff for free.
Mm.
It seems to be a real contradiction there.
Right.
Some of it seems as though I do see the trap that we fall into in wanting to share what we create, but being locked into a sort of a, you know, competitive capitalistic system where you have to maintain, you know, you have to basically have to make money somehow in order to live. And to that end, you know, it's not fair to tell artists that their work isn't as valued as other people who always get paid for their own work.
Hmm.
Yeah, just some thoughts.
Okay.
It would have been interesting to know, like, I guess John seems to be taking everything in terms of the status quo, of the mainstream, of radio stations and record labels and everything that all fall within, you know, like within the law, and very much from a sort of a lawyer's point of view, whereas like Free Radio Santa Cruz obviously is not part of that. Free Radio Santa Cruz has rejected that in so many ways. And obviously at the most fundamental level is simply not having a license from the FCC, that we're totally outside of that system.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to pay rights and royalties because we don't have, you know, we don't have any money. Nobody gets paid. It's it's sort of a radically different setup than the system that he was talking about.
Yeah, I agree.
So, I guess I wonder if he's totally aware of that.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Like, maybe I wondered if he was actually quite aware of what it is that Free Radio Santa Cruz is doing. It's sort of really more of the sort of protest, direct action that he has talked about in some of his songs, and I wonder if he would have had a different take on all of this in terms of Free Radio Santa Cruz and the like. I don't know.
Well, I appreciate your views on that.
Yeah, and again, I mean, I really do. I thank you for getting him on the air.
No
and,
problem.
And hearing that, even if, like, you know, clearly I'm not the only one who took some issues with what he said.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a lot of our audience that has.
Yeah,
you know?
And the one other thing, before I go, like him talking about how supporting Clinton's, you know, bombing of Bosnia, let's not forget that Iraq isn't the only place we dropped tons and tons and tons of depleted uranium. We did it in Bosnia in a huge way, and we're going to be seeing the results of that for, well, to use a simple term, forever. It will continue to poison people, you know, long after we're dead. And so let's not forget that when we try to justify any war, I think I have a really hard time justifying any war whatsoever, but especially because that is so often the result. You go in there, oh, we're doing it for the right reasons, and what's your end result? Well, yeah, you know, we just dropped radioactive waste all over the country. Yeah, that's really good. Yeah, that was really productive. Yeah, so that's just my 2.5 cents.
Okay.
Thanks a lot for having me on the air.
No problem.
Bye.
No problem. Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101 FM. People calling in. We just interviewed John S. Hall here on the phone, and wasn't the best of interviews, but you know, whatever. It's not what I expected out of them, but you know, it never is here at Free Radio. It's always different. Here's another song I didn't get permission to play.
Some days, I just want to throw the piano out the window and watch it slowly, softly fall to earth as I silently hum the theme music to Dolomite. Am I sick again, or is it the birds? I wish they'd stop singing and fly south already. They watch all the wrong television programs. They have all the incorrect political opinions. They don't know the words to any New Kids on the Block songs. And they don't even own a decent pair of walking shoes. Who are they to tell me how to run my life? Who the fuck are they? Nobody's gonna come over here from over there and expect me to adopt their social behavior. I'm not learning their dances. I'm not eating their food. I'm not gonna smell like them. No fucking way. No, not the birds. I'm not talking about the birds. Listen, do you think it's a coincidence that same morning I woke up from that dream about the international banking conspiracy and the space aliens that fed me pancakes with no syrup or butter, that same morning Tom Brokaw went into a Denny's restaurant, poured ketchup on his penis, and ran around screaming, "Who wants a real Grand Slam breakfast?" And it never made the papers. It never made the TV news. It never even made it to Hollywood. Don't be naive. They're all in on it. They're all in on it together. They're out to fuck me. They're out to fuck you. They're out to fuck anyone who gets in their way. And don't try to tell me about trilaterals, multinationals, multiple Oswald theories, multiple orgasms, the Blue Jays, the Oreos, the Cardinals, the Pope, the Bishop, the CIA, the family, the Book of the Law, page 31 of Macbeth, Shirley MacLaine, Edgar Casey, Casey Jones, Casey Stengel, Casey and the Sunshine Band, K-Sara Sara, because that doesn't work. It all adds up. I saw a vision last night. I heard a voice, and I'm here to tell you once and for all, because I'm fully convinced. It's seamless. It's perfect. It's absolute limitless light. I've been there and back, but I have to go now. I need a bath. My body is burning. I have to go soak my head. That's really not necessary, but thanks anyway.
Freak Radio Santa Cruz, 101 FM, freakradio.org. Sounds like we got Scooter on the line. You there?
Yeah, I had to turn my computer down. I'm on this 1 minute delay.
What's up? Hey, how's it going?
Well, okay. You know, I mean, it was pretty interesting. The guy was like, you know, kind of a tough interview, though.
Yeah. Know? Yeah, I didn't know what to ask him. He was.
But, you know, he brings it. Well, there's one thing, though. You know, if you're going to interview somebody who's involved in a law practice and stuff like that, they're not necessarily going to tell you what they think. They're limited as to what they can say and get away with. You know what I mean? Because they're practicing law, and they and you know if they're going to go out in public and start, they got to kind of toe the line with what the laws are about, because I mean they can get called out on the carpet for that stuff.
Right.
So you know, whenever you're interviewing a lawyer, you got to keep that in mind. You know, you're not always going to get the straight. You know, really what they think. You know, they're limited as to what their freedom of speech is limited by their practice. It's interesting.
That's true. But, I didn't think about that.
But the thing about copyrights and you know and like the situation that you're in there, you know,
see, right.
All a copyright really gives you is the right to sue somebody, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's it. You know? And if somebody were to come after you know your operation there, you know, an artist, and say, well, you don't have permission to play this stuff, and you're not paying me any royalties. I mean, they could take you to court if they want. But the thing is, since you're not like running commercials and using their music to sell products, you're not making any money. So you haven't stolen anything from them.
Right.
Know?
I've actually had to pay for some of them.
What's that?
I've had to pay for some of them.
For you mean for to buy the CDs?
Yeah, buy CDs. You
right,
know?
But I'm talking about the act of broadcast.
Oh, okay. All right. All right.
See, the thing is the fact that your operation is not you're not making any money.
Right.
There's nothing they can sue you for.
That's true.
Because they haven't lost anything. You know, there has to be some kind of damages, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And in other words, you see, a commercial station, I mean, see, this BMIS gap, it's not that bad of a thing. See, because these commercial stations, they're selling cars and you know, crap, and right? And they're using that music to sell that stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know? Because people tune in for the music, and then they get the ads. So it's only right that the artist should get paid. What the hell? I mean, because these people are making money off of them. So I mean, there is some sense to it all, you know. And somebody has to be around to protect artists from like ending up on just somebody, you know, doing a car commercial with their music, you know.
Right.
I mean, what was it? Jello Biafra does that pretty that rant when they use those guys ripped off the music, and then with Holiday in Cambodia ended up on a car commercial.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, he was ranting about that a few years back. But, you know, I mean, if you're really interested in, you know, what I find intriguing about, you know, these old conversations is, well, like, for instance, you know, the fact that the stuff that you and I do, we take somebody's music and then we kind of tear it up and add some stuff and then put it out there, right?
Right.
Well, I mean, if we were taking that and selling that, then they could sue us.
Right,
but
exactly.
But since we're not making any money on it, we can do anything we want with it. You know?
But they could still come after you, right? I mean,
no,
legally?
Yeah, but they have to.
You're just not interested. They're not interested in you unless you're making a lot of money. And
well, there's nothing to sue for unless you're making money. See,
right.
See what I mean?
That's
see,
true.
I have to make the money for them to sue me for it.
Right.
But if I got zero, then they don't have anything to sue me for it. So there's nothing to go to court about.
Exactly.
But the free, what do they call that? The fair use stuff is what's really interesting. And if people are interested in that, you know, ongoing legal battle, they should check out, you know, Negative Land's trials and tribulations over that. And
yeah.
If you go to their webpage, and I can't tell you exactly where, because I haven't been there in a while, but it's Negative Land without an E in it. You know, there's no E at the end of Negative, Negative Land. And they've been taken to court and stuff because they use, like, commercial stuff.
You
and
too.
Put it on the air.
You too.
And mangle it and play with it. And
right.
They've had to go to court a few times on that. But apparently they've always prevailed because they're calling it fair use. And what that is that, you know, if you've got some kind of a, you know, a commercial jingle or something that's been played so much it's actually entered the popular consciousness, then it becomes fair game. It's like it's part of the media landscape. It's part of society. So you could actually take it and then use it and comment on it without being sued for copyright as long as you win. And there's just a bunch of stuff about that. I mean, they teamed up with the law students at Stanford and they've done some pretty interesting legal battles on that.
There's even an interview with The Edge from U2 where they had their whole Negative Land U2 album was sued out of existence, where they used a sample of With or Without You.
Right.
And they sampled that into, you know how they do their thing. It's just everything at once.
Right.
They put that in there and they slowed it down and they sped it up and they slowed it. And then, you know, the weatherman would come on and repeat the lyrics, which I have an original copy of that.
Right.
I can't find anymore.
There's a lot of versions of that around.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
But see, now, where they got into trouble, though, why it even became a, you know, an issue, was the fact that they were selling the CD.
Oh, okay.
If they were just playing that stuff on the radio, you can't mess with them, you know?
Well, they did the whole Dispepsy deal, too, which I think they went through the whole legal way of getting all the, you know, making sure that they weren't breaking the law. But they did use all these samples of Pepsi commercials and things and a whole album.
And that's where the concept of fair use comes in.
Right.
It's because Pepsi, and if they're going to inundate society, then they just become fair game. They're like a politician or anyone else.
Oh, the media. Yeah, yeah. All this advertising that's around us all the time. You know, I mean, we should be able to take it and use it, which you and I do all the time. George Bush being one of those people, and you know, different even samples of movies. I use that stuff for a lot of my mixes.
And Arnold,
yes, right. Arnold.
So I mean, but there is wiggle room there, you know.
Right.
But I mean, as well as I mean,
then again, you get your little VHS or whatever, your CD, your movie, and it says this big FBI thing of copying anything.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a tag on your fucking mattress too, you know.
I understand that. Yeah. Just that it's there, you know. I mean, it's just weird. But anyway.
Anyway, so, yeah, I enjoyed the interview, and have a good day, man.
All right. Thanks a lot, Scooter. Bye-bye. Take care. Free Radio Santa Cruz 101 FM. Folks responding to the John S. Hall interview just had. Here's something off the new album called Another Political Poem.
It's like we were relaxing, sitting around talking. There was a little dancing, a little heated argument, a little bit of this, a little of that. And somebody said something that maybe they shouldn't have said. Now, I'm not saying it was you, and I'm not saying it was me, and I'm not saying that maybe it was somebody else, maybe it wasn't. I'm not saying anything anymore. I'm sorry, this is nice music, and I don't want to spoil it with another political tirade, because I don't even like political poetry, because most of it sucks, and most of the political stuff that comes to me is even worse than the stuff that usually comes to me, but I hate this president even more now than I did before 9/11, a cancer on the world and in my soul. We have met the evil empire, and it is us, every one of us who didn't vote, maybe worse than the people who voted for him. I hate everybody. Anyway, I wrote this poem, it's short, it's mean-spirited, and I feel kind of bad about it, but I mean, I'm just so... Anyway, it's called Another Political Poem. It goes like this. William Rehnquist, I hope you die a slow and painful death. Sandra Day O'Connor, die a slow and painful death. Clarence Thomas, I hope you die slowly and painfully. Antonin Scalia, die with pain slowly. Justice Kennedy, I forget your first name. I hope your death is painful and slow. President Bush, I hope you die so slowly and with pain. Dick Cheney, die painfully slow with slow pain. John Ashcroft, die slowly, painfully. You are all criminals. You will never go to jail. So just die as soon as possible with great pain, slowly. I would die the slowest, most painful death of all of you if it meant that just half of you would die now. Call me liberal, call me twisted and sick, I don't care. I hate you all, and I hope you all die. And that's the poem, and that's fine, except, I mean, what's the difference anyway? They die, worse ones come to take their place.
Hi, I'm Winona Ryder, and I have a very serious message for you about music downloading. Did you know that the same companies suing children for sharing music have been caught stealing millions from musicians and customers? It's true. In 2002, the major record labels got caught stealing $130 million from customers by illegally inflating prices. In 2004, New York Attorney General Eliot Spitzer forced them to hand over $50 million in royalties to musicians that they'd simply refused to pay. The problem is, they're still doing it. CD prices stayed high, and musicians still get screwed out of royalties. How do we fix this problem? Simple. Stop paying for major label music, and support independent labels that give musicians a fair deal. Together, we can build a better music business. For more information, check out downhillbattle.org.